For this evening, then, will be from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. Matthew 13, 1 through 23, reading in the name of our Lord. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Amen. These are your words before us tonight, gracious Father. We pray that you would sanctify us in the truth, and Lord, that you would indeed prepare our hearts to receive your word. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. So I thought this text was a good place to start this weekend of services as it deals with the hearing of the Word of God, which is what we're here to do, to hear the Word of God. This parable from chapter 13 of Matthew is part of what has been called the parabolic discourse of Jesus. Just means that Jesus told seven parables in a row, and he told two explanations of the parables. And we have the benefit with this parable of having Jesus explain the parable to us. Some of the events that led up to this parable being told in chapter 12 of Matthew, Jesus' authority comes under question by the Pharisees. Jesus was questioned by the Pharisees for eating and for healing and for casting out demons on the Sabbath day. He's accused by the Pharisees of casting out the devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus responds in verse 26 of chapter 12. He says, "If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall his kingdom stand?" And then a little bit later he says, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come upon you." So then Jesus begins these parables that we find in chapter 13. And they're all having to do with the kingdom of God. And the parable we read has to do with the word of the kingdom of God. And so the text begins by saying, "The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. Great multitudes gathered, and they gathered together unto him, so that he went in a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the seashore." So this seaside preaching was pretty common. It was a common method that Jesus used to preach. We recall when Jesus called his disciples, when they caught the big catch of fish, that's exactly what he was doing. He was out in a boat. He was preaching. He would do that so that he could reach more people. Jesus always seemed to accommodate people. As many people as came to him to hear, he found a way to speak to all of them. You know, we have here for this convention, we have all kinds of different accommodations, different places people are gathered, and I think Pastor Jesse and the convention committee has followed Jesus' example quite well. There's many different places throughout this facility that you can gather and hear the word, because we want to accommodate everyone. We want people to hear what's proclaimed this weekend, and it's also online. You know, it's being broadcast. We want everyone to hear the word of God. Jesus wants his word to reach the people. Because as we'll see as we go through this text, the word does some great things. The word is very, very powerful. In fact, the word is creative. The word does things to us. And so it says, "When he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went forth to sow." So many things in parables. A parable is a comparative illustration, I guess would be the definition of it. It's Jesus would use this form of teaching. He would make these illustrations or pictures that the people could relate to, that they understood. In this case, it's an agricultural parable he tells. So you have a sower who's going to sow seeds or plant seeds. People do interesting things with the parables of Jesus, and they're open for misinterpretation. People misinterpret and they read things into it that weren't intended. But this particular parable is, I think, kind of protected from that because we have Jesus himself giving us the explanation to it. So this story remains pure and just as Jesus intended. And the story itself, as we read it, is pretty simple, really. So you have a sower, you have a guy who's planting seeds. Some seeds fall by the wayside as he goes out to plant. They fall on the edge of the path or wherever. And then the birds of the air, it says, they come and they eat the seeds up before there's any chance for any germination to even start to take place. And then other seeds, they fall in places where there's rocks and stones and things like that, or maybe the ground is really compacted. And they do start to grow, but because they have no root, they don't grow down. When the weather turns hot, when the sun shines on them and beats down on the plants, they die. They shrivel up and they die. There's other seeds that fall amongst the thorns or the weeds, and the weeds grow up faster than the plant, and they choke out the plant, and they take all the nutrients and everything so that the plant doesn't grow any fruit. And then lastly, the seeds that fall on the good ground, the good soil, those are the ones that grow. So a farmer, seeds, birds, different kinds of dirt, sun, weeds, fruitful plants. How does Jesus turn this into the kingdom of God and the word of the kingdom of God? We'll see. Jesus said, "Who has ears to hear, let him hear." That's how he closed the parable. Now, Mark tells the same parable, and he gives us a little bit more information about it. He tells us that the disciples were with Jesus alone. They were alone. So this is a private conversation Jesus has with his disciples. And so they come to him with a question. They come to him and they ask, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Why parables, Jesus? Why are you telling these stories? See, parables kind of like, they do two things. They reveal the truth, but they also are concealing it, as we see Jesus tells us. This tells us that God gives the understanding of his word. There's no way to understand it unless God gives it. And that's the lesson here for the disciples and for us. Jesus said, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whoever has not, from him will be taken away everything that he has." So when Jesus is saying, what he's saying here is he's speaking to a group of people, the Pharisees, who are claiming that they have some insight into the kingdom of God. So much so that they were convinced, and they were convincing others, that Jesus was of the kingdom of the devil. That's how sure of themselves they were, that they were right. And this needed to be taken away from them. This needed to be exposed. It needed to be exposed to them that they were blind. So Jesus hid this from them. He hid the truth from them. He says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables." That's why. "Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, and neither do they understand." Well, this may seem harsh at first, that Jesus would say this, that he's trying to hide this truth from these Pharisees. What he's actually doing is very gracious. Because there's nothing worse than thinking everything's okay with you, thinking you're doing all right, when you're actually very wrong. And the Pharisees were very wrong. And that's how the fallen nature that we have inherited by Adam and Eve, because of the fall into sin, our natural condition is very wrong. We don't have this knowledge of God. Jesus needs to reveal himself to us. And so Jesus says that in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which is this: "By hearing you shall hear and not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed." And he says that lest they should see with their ears and see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand and be converted and I should heal them. So what Jesus is quoting here is from Isaiah chapter 6. When Isaiah was called into his prophecy, just after the seraphims had come and the holy, holy, holy that he heard, and they put the coals on his lips, God told Isaiah, "Speak this to my people," to the Israelites, the stubborn, rebellious people. He said, "This is what you are to say to them. You are to expose to them that they think they know me and they don't. That their eyes are dull of, their ears are dull of hearing. They have closed eyes and they are lost without me." Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees who, like the Israelites, they claimed that they knew God. But they needed God to show them that they were far from God. And the only way to know God is that God reveals himself to them. And he tells his disciples, he says, "Blessed are you, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." So he's not telling his disciples that they are blessed because they have done a better job than the Pharisees in trying to figure God out in some way or understand God. What he's doing to them, what he's telling them, is they are blessed because God has revealed to them the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That's the only reason they're blessed, because this came to them by revelation. He says to them, "For verily I say unto you," surely I'm telling you, Many of the prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things that you have seen, to hear the things you've heard, to know the things that you know now. He says, for 4,000 years, there's a long line of people who would have loved to see and to hear and to know these things. And you, my disciples, are of all people most blessed because I have shown it to you. I have revealed it to you. So this is his explanation of why it is that he speaks to them in parables. And then, as I said, we get the benefit of Jesus explaining the parable to us, which is, by the way, a great comfort for me as a preacher, because I don't need to make something up about this. I can go off what Jesus teaches us here. He says, hear, therefore, the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, then the wicked one comes, catches away what was sown in his heart, and this is he which received seed by the wayside. So the first person in the story, or the first episode, you could say, in the story where the bird came and took the seed before it had a chance to grow. A lot of times when we read this parable, we try to figure out what soil we are. We try to examine ourselves and, well, which one am I? And we almost look at it like it's up to us to determine which soil I am or which soil someone else is. And, of course, we hope that we're the good soil. We hope that we're not, you know, the soil that has weeds or rocks in it or the bird comes and just takes the word away. But that's not actually the point of the parable. The point of the parable isn't for us to try to assign ourselves into one of these groups of soil or what have you. The point of this parable is to make us aware that the Word of God is opposed. There are things that oppose the Word of God. And that's why I wanted to speak to you today about this, because we're just about to hear several days of preaching. We're going to hear a lot of the Word of God. And so for us to be aware that the Word of God never goes unopposed. There are things that come to oppose the word. And so the devil is the bird. He comes wherever he can to steal the word. He wants to take it away from us, just like a seagull. I don't know how seagulls know when you drop a crumb, but it seems like you drop a crumb when you're around a seagull and boom, they're right in there to get it. That's how the devil operates. He is trying to take that word away from us as soon as he can so that it would never have a chance to grow, that the word and the promises of God wouldn't find a place in us. He steals it away before it even can create faith. Then Jesus said, he that received the seed in the stony places. That's the one who hears the word, receives it with joy, yet he doesn't have any root in himself. Remember, that plant didn't have a chance to develop its root system down deep so that it could survive. When the sun comes out, it shrivels up and dies. He says that one is he who doesn't have root but endures for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he's offended. This is the rocky ground. So the word can be readily received, even with joy, when we hear the word. It can be received as an abstract thing, a nice theory, a good idea, and we listen to it and we say, oh, that's good. Yeah, that's really good. But what he's saying here is, what about when it needs to become a personal, a concrete reality to us, more than just an abstraction, that something we hear? You know, out in the narthex there, when you leave, take a look, hanging on the wall, there's a picture of a man out there. His name is Dietrich Bonhoeffer, unless Jesse took it down. I think it's still there. Okay, yeah. He experienced these kind of things. He was a theologian, a brilliant man. He wrote a lot of good things. But it came a point in his life where he experienced this trial and persecution. And it was a necessary thing that his faith was rooted, that the word was rooted into him, that it was into his very being. It was a personal reality for him. Jesus says that, yet he has no root in himself. If this word only grows, you know, on a not very deep into us. There's when persecution or when the heat of persecution comes to bear on us, that word will shrivel up and die. You can't partially believe the word. That doesn't work. It needs to grow into your very being. It needs to become a part of you, to grow into you. And thankfully, this word grew into these disciples. These disciples, when they faced the heat of persecution, that word stood and remained. They gave their lives for the gospel, which is, by the way, why we are here today. Because they were faithful when the heat of persecution came and tribulation. The word grew into their very being. And we come to he that received the seed among the thorns. That's the one who hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, they choke the word out so that it doesn't bear fruit. It becomes unfruitful. The seed that fell among the thorns. So we see here the word has competition. There's other things that grow. They grow right from our own heart. There is lust, concupiscence, we call it, the thirst for other things other than the word. And those are what competes with the word of God. The cares of this life, they come on and they consume us and choke the word out. Jesus tells us very clearly in the Sermon on the Mount that we don't need to worry about this life. That's not for us to do. We live by the word of God. He says the deceitfulness of riches also is part of this, the thorns that choke the word out. Money is a liar. Riches are a liar. They promise all kinds of things to us. They promise us security and happiness. Promises they aren't able to give to us. Only God is able to give those to us. To make God's blessings depend on money, that's what the deceitfulness of riches is. That's what makes the word unfruitful for us. And we see that not only are the thorns themselves useless, they don't bear fruit of themselves, they also make the word become unfruitful. And now we come to he who received the seed in the good ground. Jesus says, this is the one who hears the word, understands it, and it bears fruit, and it brings forth 160, 30-fold. The good soil. The receptive soil, open to the word of God and the promises of God. There's an amazing thing that happened here. It's called, in hermeneutics, it's called performative utterance. Those of you who are at the pastor's meeting today heard a little bit about that. The word of God accomplishes something. We heard that in our scripture reading. The word does not return void. A performative utterance is something that not only describes a reality, but it also changes the reality that it is describing. That's what this parable is doing to us. I'll give you an example of what this is and what this would look like. If I was sitting in my Lazy Boy on a cold winter day and the living room door was wide open and I told my kids, hey, that door's open. I'm not just describing to them a reality. I'm not just telling them some information about the door. I'm doing something. I'm actually telling them, hey, go close that door. That's what the word is doing to us. That's what Jesus is doing to us by telling us this parable. Jesus is creating soil in each of us. He's creating good soil in you this evening, and he will throughout this weekend of services. By telling us about the devil, the bird that came and took the seed, Jesus is causing us to pray. Causing us to pray, I hope that's not me. Hopefully the devil doesn't swoop in and take this away from me, everything I'm hearing. Jesus is doing something with his word. By telling him about the plant that grew and didn't have deep roots, he's causing us to understand that it is necessary that this word grows deep into our very being. He's causing us to realize how important the word is, how important it is to come under the hearing of the word, to receive it. He's creating this soil in us. By telling us about the weeds and the things that compete with the word, Jesus is telling us that there are things that come that compete with the word. And maybe, could be that this is a call to repentance for us. Maybe there's something, maybe we do love money too much. Jesus is calling us to repentance to get us to see that there's no, all the promises that money has for us, they don't come to fruition. Only the word of God is what's important. So that we will pull those weeds out. We will repent. We will turn and come to God. And through all of this, Jesus has performed something. His word has worked in us. His word has caused good soil so that his word will grow. His promises will grow in each of us. So now the word can grow. And it grows and it brings fruit in varying amounts, 160, 30-fold. There's seeds. There's more seeds. And it causes us to proclaim the gospel. The gospel is never contained. The gospel is constantly spreading, and we proclaim it. And so the word continues to grow. And so this is the miracle of Jesus, his parable here. His word continues to work in us. And as I said, as we gather together for all these services, this word is at work in you. So, dear brothers and sisters, as you gather together and you hear all the preaching, as you sit passively under the word, hearing the word, understand and know that the word is very active. The word is actively working in you, and it's creating this soil in which it will grow. It will give you faith, the promises of God, eternal life. And this is all because your Lord and Savior loves you so much that he has given his word to us. He is the very word in flesh. So God bless each one of you, and as you gather together, remember this, the word of God is working in you. In Jesus' name, amen.